Gracious Heavenly Father, in these, as we would call, troubled times, when we may cry out, "How long, O Lord?" we turn to you for help. So help us to see your provision behind us, your presence beside us, and your promise in front of us. We know we have your word to stand on, your spirit to guide us, and your son to be with us always. So as we study your word this morning, help us to see the many promises of things even yet to come, and share the hope we have as we wait. Thank you for this time together and searching your word, for when we seek, we will find. May we stand on that promise now. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Okay, I just want to set up our teaching this morning a little bit by saying that due to a technical difficulty last week, we didn't get the lesson recorded as I taught it, and so and put on our website, which we like to do. So I will do some review of what last week we covered a bit, as well as going on from there to finish this special lesson that I've taken a sidestep on out of the book of Isaiah to teach on this for just such a time as this. So, again, I just want to share that I'm using this teaching that I did 3 years ago for the ladies' Bible study on Tuesday, and it's a lesson that I called "What Is God Doing?" And it was something at that time in 2017, shortly after our new president had been inaugurated. We saw a lot of things happening in the skies, the alignment of stars and planets, and we saw a predicted upcoming solar eclipse across the whole United States. And so we were very heightened in our sense of how all this fits into God's word of prophecy back then. And so I put together this lesson, and the particular lesson I'm sharing, I started sharing 2 weeks ago, but I will try to finish up today, is lesson 6, which is called "The Pieces Are Falling Into Place." And so as we look at the times and look at everything and what has just occurred and we're under right now with skeleton crews and limited interaction, and all the things we're trying to do to lessen the impact of this pandemic that we're all facing throughout the world. And so we're trying to abide by that, and so we have only a small number of people gathered here this morning. But I want to kind of set this lesson up on the pieces are falling into place, which I think is part of what we can even focus on today. And I think even with the message that Pastor Joe and Pastor Raymond are going to share later this morning, in a message that's called "We've Never Been This Way Before." And I think it's a very pertinent message to what we're going through in the right now. And so this teaching also that I'm doing is trying to give a little perspective on what we see happening. So as I taught this lesson, and I've shared this in the past weeks, but I think it's important why I call this "The Pieces Falling Into Place." When I taught the lesson, I did it with a visual aid, and it was a jigsaw puzzle. And it was a jigsaw puzzle of a scene with the country church, a good old country church. And the windows were kind of boarded up, and it was kind of an old look, but it was in a beautiful landscape with birds in the sky and the clouds and everything. And so I took that puzzle and used it as a means to describe how we can gradually or start to see God putting the pieces into place for his plan. Because God is the one who laid out the outer borders, if you want to call it the puzzle. the jigsaw puzzle that we can see a little bit from our perspective of pieces coming into place. And of course, as the closer we get to the time of things actually coming to fruition, the more the picture will come, be illuminated for us. And so that's the process I believe we're in. And I think that that process is being heightened basically each and every day in the times we're in. And so we have to reflect upon what is this latest thing? How does this pandemic possibly fit into all that pattern? And so I'll probably end up talking about that a little bit later, hopefully before I conclude. So let's review where we left off 2 weeks ago on our outline. I got down to the first bullet point under the key pieces to be yet identified. And so I spent quite a bit of time 2 weeks ago talking about the very importance of the reestablishment of the nation of Israel. And you can see the points I have underneath that bullet point on the handout, those of you that are here. Israel, in my belief, in my understanding of Scripture, it is the one piece that I believe we had waited for centuries, for God's promise that he would bring his people back into their land, the land that he gave to his chosen people through the Abrahamic covenant. And yet, because they disobeyed him and they went into exile and dispersed all over the world, most people thought, this will never happen. And so in the Middle Ages, you know, and of course with past biblical scholars, they thought, well, God's done with Israel. You know, this isn't going to happen. So we're seeing in our times a reestablishment. Now, we know that Israel has returned to that land after World War II. And we know to this day, in the time we're in right now, as a nation, they're still in unbelief. They haven't turned to their God and recognized their Messiah as Jesus to this point. Now, individual Jews have, and they're what we call Messianic Jews, and have come in. So, but the importance of Israel, we have to keep in mind as we look into the things that God, in his prophetic word, has yet to fulfill. And so we see this as something that occurred in 1948, and I believe that's the picture of the fig tree budding. And so with the fig tree budding, there's more yet to come following that. In fact, Jesus said in Matthew 24, as I have on the sheet, it appears that the final generation will be the generation that sees the fig tree budding and summer approaching, and all these things will happen, the convergence, and that's what we kind of refer to it as. All the things that Jesus talked about in the Olivet, early in the Olivet Discourse, there's signs that those things are a convergence. And I would emphasize that this pandemic, I think, seems to be one of those birth pains. And it's a pretty significant one. And we've not been this way before in our lifetime. And so I think that's important to recognize. Let me go on from there with the other bullet points. I did cover some of these last week, or most of these last week. I'll only briefly touch on them. But since it didn't get recorded last week, I want to bring it up again so it's on the record. In Daniel chapter 12, verse 4, another sign of the end is that knowledge will increase. Knowledge will increase and we will go to and fro, it said, which is also believed to be the increase of travel. So look at how much those two things have increased in our time, in the last century and into this new millennium, I should say, or new century. So, it seems like that's being fulfilled before our very eyes. I mean, look at what we can do today. Look at what we're starting here in this church today. You know, live streaming our message. And so those kind of things would have never been dreamt of back in the days of Daniel, all the way to the days of Luther, to even even in last century for a good share of it. So we're seeing things that God is fulfilling that we would have thought back in years gone by, this could never happen in the view that the people had at that time. And we're also seeing these birth pains increasing. Now, the intensifying of the birth pains, I believe, will continue through the early part of the tribulation period. But I believe before the tribulation period begins, we will see more and more signs of these things occurring to set the stage. See, I truly believe in studying prophecy, many things have to be put in place. Like, we can talk about the mark of the beast. We can talk about different things that we're seeing signs of in our culture. You know, that it's going to be required, maybe a chip of some kind. Now, that fully will be enacted under the Antichrist in the tribulation period. But many of these things we ought to be looking for because it sets the stage. And so that's one of the things I'm looking at as we're facing what we're facing today in our culture and in our country and in our city. You know, we're being put under ordinances and requirements. And so we can't fully express our religious freedoms and the other things we want to do, the freedom of assembly. But we're doing it in the best interests of others and each other so that we do not pass this virus on. And so we understand the reason. But these kind of things that are practiced can prepare, can be a preparation for setting the stage for things that will fully be implemented, at least in the tribulation period. So I think that's important. Okay, so the birth pains intensifying. Birth pains we know as wars and rumors of war, famines, earthquakes, and pestilences. And so it seems like this major pestilence it falls in that category of increasing. We have worldwide instant communication. Again, one of those things, the sign of our times today. We would have never believed we could be doing these kind of things back 100 years ago, 50 years ago, even some of them. And now we're being able to be seen. What we're doing right here today can be seen all over the world. That just blows our minds from what we know from our past or our youth or whatever. And so things are happening very quickly, and worldwide instant communication is absolutely necessary for God to be able to fulfill literally his prophetic word. We see also, I put here, as it was in the days of Noah as well as Lot, we're seeing these things beginning, if not beginning, is accelerating, taking place. The things that we're accepting as normal, acceptable, preferable in our culture are being thrust upon us. And we have people, even who are church people. Well, that's fine. I mean, we need to be care for those people as well. But you don't accept things that are against God's word, the standards of God's word. And when God calls it an abomination or a perversion, it shouldn't be our place as his followers of him to just freely accept it and say, oh, well, it doesn't matter what God says, we'll do what man says. So we're seeing these things being more and more fulfilled right before our very eyes. We're seeing the storm clouds in the Middle East. Now, with this pandemic, it's just interesting that some of those storm clouds have kind of settled down for a little time. But that's what happens with birth pains. Some birth pains you get more intense, and others subside as we near the delivery, the birth. So we have the storm clouds in the Middle East. We have the formation of the world powers. You know, I believe that Daniel referred to, and we, I think, picture in Revelation as well, the key world powers that need to be in place from each direction of the compass. From the east, the kings of the east that are referred to in prophecy. We can see what's developed before our eyes, China, North Korea, and other far eastern countries that could all play the part in bringing that about. The south, the kings of the south, We have a whole Islamic nations that are exerting, some exerting terrorism, some trying to figure out how they get along or don't get along, warring against each other, but taking a role, and will play, I believe, a role in these end times coming in. We have the King of the North. And the King of the North, you know, because we have the Gog of Magog prophecy in Ezekiel 38 and 39, you know, it seems to be from the far north. Now, some would say Turkey, you know, but far north of Jerusalem, if you go straight north of Jerusalem, Moscow is Russia. And so, generally, I believe that that refers to the power of the Russian power, which we can see in our times has taken so much influence in the Middle East. We also see the Western powers somewhat aligned, but a little bit in conflict now, particularly with Donald Trump being president. You know, we backed out of some of the UN things and the European Union things, and so a lot of things are changing in the power struggle there for the Western powers. But ultimately, I believe, as we move towards the tribulation, those powers will be a force to reckon with as the different kings of the different directions will take their position. And so along with that, you don't have to look very far and just consider the things that have already been put on us with abortion, with homosexuality accepted, you know, with vaccinations and different things that are being required. And there are movements, you know, whether you call them conspiracies or not, movements to control the population. There's a movement, Amir Safari just posted on one of his latest teachings about those stones in Georgia that said the maximum human population should be 500 million. And we're far beyond that. We're 7 billion, or more than 7 billion people on the face of the earth. So there is a movement. There is a movement behind the scenes, primarily, that population control is a very important thing. So all those things, global government and one world religion. One world religion, we don't know exactly how all that will come about, but, you know, we have a pope that's very sympathetic with all the other religions, you know, getting along. So how all this will develop, we'll just have to wait and see, but it seems to be coming closer. The apostasy within the church, the falling away, you know, that's been one of the things that have been heavy on our hearts as being part of the church. You know, why are people who are call themselves Christians, as part of the church, as followers of Jesus Christ, why are they not faithful to Christ and His Word? And so the apostasy seems to be revealing itself more and more. We have the reestablishment of the Jewish symbols in Israel. Many things, and I'll talk about it here later. We have the temple movement. We have the Sanhedrin being reformed, reestablished. We have the articles for the temple being already ready. We're looking for the red heifer. You know, there's all kinds of things that are happening. So
their choir is warming up too, the Levite choir.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, so there's a lot of things happening if you pay attention. Yeah. That these things, these early signs, and maybe they're getting more and more intense, are coming about. Okay, let me turn to the topic on the back of the first page there, what pieces seem to be falling into place. And I'm not going to talk about this here a lot. Those of you that have the handout, you can look these over for yourself. But this whole page was really related to Donald Trump being elected. And because Donald Trump was elected in 2016, we know, most of us, who even voted for him or maybe weren't for him in the beginning in the primaries, because he was kind of a character, let's put it that way. And so some of us wanted somebody who had more seemingly good Christian values. And he didn't seem to portray that. But he was elected. He was the nominee. He was elected. And most of us would say, that was a miracle how that happened. And I believe it was. I believe it was God's doing. And so I put some facts on the sheet for you to at least consider, was it a coincidence or was it a God incident? And I would propose by the dating and the comparison of Donald's date of birth with the founding of the nation of Israel, Donald's date of birth with his inauguration as U.S. president, his relationship with Benjamin Netanyahu. I mean, the number seven just totally, you know, reveals itself there. So I would say it's more than a coincidence. So, and is it God's? Obviously, God's hand is in every person that's raised up as the head of a nation. And he removes those when it's in his time to do that. Now, there was also, back 3 years ago, we looked at the question of, is this the generation? And how do you define a generation? And so I have there on the sheet different ways of defining a generation biblically. If it's like the days of Noah, that was 120 years. If it's like the days of Abraham, that was 100 years for the promised son. If it's like it says in Psalm 90 verse 10, we're intended to live 70 years, and if we're blessed, 80 years perhaps. And those that live longer than 80 are double blessed.
Oh, yeah. Amen.
So these things are, I think, are pertinent to look at. You know, how does this line up with what we see as our times? So moving on to the next page with the bullet points there, I talked a little bit more in detail on some of those I've already mentioned, so you can read through those. The Third Temple Movement, rebuilding the temple. And I would say firmly, according to Scripture, the temple must be rebuilt. We don't know the timing of it. We don't know whether it'll be rebuilt before the tribulation begins, or it'll be in the first half of the tribulation period. But we know a temple must stand on the Temple Mount in Jerusalem for God to fulfill literally what he's told us. The book of Daniel, book of Thessalonians, you know, the several places, Jesus' own words of, you know, saying that this Antichrist is going to be in the temple. So I think we need to consider that. And then the other things I've talked about, the reforming of the Sanhedrin. Oh, I mentioned last week, but I didn't have it on tape. It's very interesting on the priesthood, the reestablishment of the Jewish priesthood. The word for priest in Hebrew is Kohen. And Kohen, the name Kohen, is a very common name among Jewish people. And so it's been found out that when they've tested the DNA of certain of the Kohen family, they have found that they can trace that lineage all the way back to the first century. So who's ever heard of such a thing? That you can trace somebody's lineage of a name that God has protected for the time to come. So the priesthood will be reestablished when the temple is rebuilt. And so there will be literal priests, even by name. Then that I have on here, the Gog and Magog Alliance. And of course there, Raymond has done a good job on Sunday nights of sharing with us that whole progression of how we see many of those players in this alliance taking shape. So the defined characters, Gog and Magog. Gog there seems to be, we often refer to the leader of Magog, a man, who in this case, if we believe Magog is Russia, then Gog would be Putin, if it happens in the time we're in right now. But in looking at it a little further, because there's another Gog and Magog battle in Revelation 20, 1,000 years down the road or more, it seems like this must be a spiritual a spiritual being, a prince of Satan that will be again brought after Satan is brought out of the abyss after the 1,000-year reign of Christ on earth to draw people to him to test those in the millennial kingdom, that this force will be brought up again and Jesus will put it down. But there is that formation now, which would be referring to the literal battle that will occur that we call, referred to as Gog and Magog. We have the other players, Persia, which is Iran. We have Tubal and Togarmah, which are synonymous with Turkey. We have Put, which is the old name for Libya today. And we have Kush, which is an old name for Ethiopia, but really is the region of Sudan and Ethiopia. I encourage you also to look at the Psalm 83 nations that are referred to there in Psalm 83, verses 1 to 8. Those are the nations that clearly, even now, totally surround the reestablished nation of Israel and are a lot of the present-day enemies or frenemies. Some of them are frenemies, call themselves friends, but down deep, you know their heart still says, we want to get rid of Israel. We want to drive them into the sea. And so we have the ancient nations of Edom, Moab, and Ammon mentioned, which is synonymous today with Jordan. We have the Ishmaelites and the Hagarites, which are part of Saudi Arabia today. We have Gebal and Tyre. We know that's where Lebanon is today. We have Amalek and Philistia, and that's the location that presently the Gaza Strip is, that Israel gave back to the Palestinians in 2005. And so they're ruled by the terrorist group Hamas right now today. And so that becomes an embattled location. And then we have Assyria, which the old Assyria, back in the days of Psalms, would be synonymous with the region of Syria and Iraq today. So those things. Then we have that prophecy in Isaiah 17:1 that I think is still important, and I don't think it's been fully fulfilled, even though we see the destruction of Damascus today with the Syrian war that's been going on for close to 10 years. But Damascus has to be totally destroyed, become a heap of ruin. And then I won't cover in detail the signs in the heavens, because these were more pertinent to back in 2017. But what I do want to say, just because something didn't happen that we thought might happen in 2017, like the rapture, you know, Jesus coming back for his bride, everybody was extra ready because we thought these signs in the heavens, the sign of the woman, it might be a sign that the tribulation period's coming, you know, right soon, and so the church needed to be ready. Well, we know it's 3 years since then. Didn't happen then. But that doesn't mean that still wasn't a proper sign. God doesn't tell us the time frame of when his signs will be totally realized. But those were three blood moon tetras have occurred. Now, a tetra is a blood moon or an eclipse of the moon, a total eclipse of the moon, on the two feast days on the Hebrew calendar, God's feast days, the first one, Passover, and the last one, Tabernacles. So when they occur in the same year, blood moons on those days, and then the next year again. So four consecutive feast days, the first and the last of the seven feasts, these eclipses of the moon appeared in these years, 49 and 50, right after Israel was reestablished as a nation, 1967 and 68, right after Israel took back Jerusalem in the Six-Day War. And then we just had one in recent years in 2014 and 15. And that's why, what does that mean? Again, we can't say specifically because it's in God's timing. But when you have three very unique events like that, and of course, Israel as a nation believes that their sign that they watch is the moon, because the moon is the calendar they follow on their Hebrew calendar, whereas we basically follow the sun. The Gregorian calendar, the Julian calendar before that. And so the nations are generally believed to be the sign for them is the sun. But the moon is very important for Israel. But then we had that solar eclipse on August 21st, 2017. Very interesting, because it had been 100 years, basically 100 years that anything like that had happened, where there was a solar eclipse that totally was across the continental United States. In June 8th of 1918. Now, isn't it interesting today that we're facing a pandemic? Almost 100 years ago, we had the Spanish flu, which was the worst pandemic that the United States ever experienced. And across the whole world, it was one of the greatest ones. So that's an important reflection. Now, we were looking for something maybe big to happen in God's plan back in 2017, that fall, because we had the sign of the woman, we had the solar eclipse, and we had all these things. But it didn't come about. And so we still have to wait. We have to wait and watch. So, okay, so that kind of covers that handout. I believe, you know, with these bullet points I've just covered, we have kind of, and like I was saying, things pass. You know, we had these things occur, whether they're signs from God or not. We've kind of taken our eye off of some of these things that are happening, that have happened, the birth pains and so forth, because we have so much attention right now directed on this coronavirus pandemic. It's monopolizing our attention and perhaps a lot of our fears and concerns, and we just don't know when it's going to end. And so we're in a time that, again, we don't know exactly where all this is going. But I want to say again that the pieces of the puzzle have not disappeared. You know, the pieces of the puzzle are still there, and they may have changed a little bit from our view, but they're still on the table. Those pieces will be fulfilled by God in His time, and we may just have to have pushed them aside for a time. But I think we need to keep our eye on what is yet to come. I just want to finish with a couple things, and a little bit of time I have left. The other handout I gave you, I did cover 2 weeks ago, but I want to remind us, just as a review, of what I believe will be are the things in God's plan, looking into God's plan, to understand the times. As believers, we need to recognize that this whole series of things yet to happen have not yet happened. And I think we can all agree on these. And let me just read them off quickly. I covered them in a little bit more detail 2 weeks ago, so I don't need to go into detail. But the completion of the church age. I think all of us would agree we're still in the church age. We still have the Great Commission. We have the Great Commandment. These are the things that God and Christ has given us to continue to do until He comes. And we're still waiting for the bridegroom to come. And so the church age is not being completed. And as Romans 11:25 says, the fullness of the Gentiles must come in. So the time of the Gentiles that we're in, primarily the time of the Gentiles, must be fulfilled before God finishes His plan. And so with that, what we're looking for, the blessed hope, of what we're looking forward to what is yet to come, and for the church, for the believers in Christ, both those who have died in faith, as well as those who are alive and living today, who are the true believers, the bride of Christ, the body of Christ, the believers in Christ, We're looking for that blessed hope. Not only the resurrection of the believers, but the rapture or the taking up, the being caught away when Christ comes back for us. So that has not yet happened. We also know that even though we see troubled times, difficult times, we see persecutions, we see Christians being beheaded, we see all these things happening, but we're not in the tribulation period yet. And it's hard for anybody to make the case that this is fully the tribulation period. And so the tribulation, which I personally believe, I know we have some differences even with us, but as the timing of the rapture and resurrection of the believer, because I think there's enough evidence for me to make a decision that I believe it will be before the tribulation begins. But that isn't saying there's reference to the wrath and different times in the tribulation period that it could be delayed to. It's in God's timing, so we leave it at that. But the tribulation period has yet to come. It's just interesting that I think David Jeremiah this morning, Karen was watching a little bit of his program, and he was talking on Daniel 11. And so, you know, there's a lot of attention being given to the things, the promises that were given Daniel, and how those are playing out or fitting in, or what's yet to be seen. So the tribulation period has to occur. The glorious appearance when Christ comes back in all his glory has to come. Following the glorious appearance, there will have to be, I believe, as I see it, two judgments that Christ will perform when he comes back before he sets up his millennial kingdom. He will first have to judge the nations, which we generally call Matthew 25, the judgment of the sheep and the goats, the nations. And that judgment will be on the basis of what you did to my brothers, my brethren. And so it's physical actions, and it seems to me, and we can argue about it, but it seems to point to what the Gentile people did for the Jewish people in the tribulation period to brothers of Christ. And so that judgment must take place. They must be separated, the sheep and the goats, so that the sheep will be allowed to enter the millennial kingdom, and the goats will be condemned to what we would call Hades, or the place held for judgment, the last day judgment, the white throne judgment. And so that separation will take place at the end of the 7-year tribulation. Then there will be the millennial kingdom, in which Christ will rule and reign for 1,000 years, and we're studying it verse by verse. It comes up in the book of Isaiah. We're going through Isaiah, and I'm putting it on sheets here to kind of picture the whole thing by the time we get done with Isaiah. There are many passages in Isaiah that give us looks into this messianic millennial kingdom that we don't have in any of the other prophecy books. You know, and so I think as we're studying Isaiah, we'll see more and more of those accounts. And then after the millennial kingdom, we have what I call the final rebellion, and ultimately ending with the white throne judgment of the unbeliever, and then entry into the eternal kingdom. And so that will take place. Okay, I have one last thing to cover before we close here this morning. I just want to just give my little bit of sharing on what's going on today in our world. It's very brief as we prepare to hear the message from Pastor Joe and Pastor Raymond. It'll be starting right at 10 o'clock this morning, and it'll be live streamed on YouTube. But I just believe, as I look at this situation in our world today and what we're experiencing, and we're passing a place where we've never been before in our lifetimes. And I don't think any of us can argue with that too much. I mean, there's been events I know Bruce has lived through, the Depression, we were very young, World War II, you know, and all the things that America has experienced. But this kind of action to counter a pandemic, which we say, which is restricted freedoms and all the things that we're doing, we're sacrificing, which we believe is for the common good. But I believe with the attention that's been directed at this latest birth pain, and I do call it a birth pain because I think it comes from a pestilence, animals, God is forcing us to take a new look at how we do things as well as what is most important. And among those, I would put these things. Perhaps some different ways of doing church. And we're going to experience that a little bit this morning. Do we have more of an opportunity to reach a greater audience with the technology we have? So that's one consideration. We can maybe look at the old first century way of doing church and consider that. But we kind of like our traditions. We kind of like the way we do things. I'm not saying we change massively, but it gives us a chance to relook at how we do church. Perhaps some reassessment of what is most important in our lives. I think it helps us to reflect upon what are our priorities in our lives. Is our faith at the top of our priorities? Is our family next? Are our friends next? You know, what are our priorities? And then third, being more aware of the spiritual battle in our world today. I think this kind of gives us a picture that there's things going on in the spiritual realm that are moving things along, moving us along even further towards setting the stage for the things that will follow with the tribulation period, particularly the coming of the Antichrist and the setting up of the one world order and the rule in the tribulation period. It just seems to me this is another step in setting the stage for that. And then lastly, being more aware of the movement towards the tribulation period. I guess that's what I just said, with the spirit of Antichrist and the one world order setting the stage. And then I want to leave you with the words of Jesus, particularly in the Olivet Discourses in the three Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, shared in a little different way, reminding us of what we're to be doing. These were commands of Jesus, just like the commandment to go into the whole world and share the gospel, just like the commandment to love God and love your neighbor as yourself. Those are commandments of Jesus, the basics of the commandments, at the heart of the Ten Commandments, if you will. And so I believe these are every bit as important. These are the words of Jesus in the Olivet Discourse. When you see all these things, you know that the time is near. And so that's what we're looking for. We're looking for this convergence of all these things that Jesus talked about. And then what are we to be doing? We're to keep watch. Be alert. Be awake. Watching. Be ready. This is other words. Be on guard. Be alert. In Matthew and Mark 13:33. And then in Luke 21, which is a little different look at what Jesus was saying to his disciples, he said, not only look at the fig tree, but he said, look at all trees. And that seems to imply that if the fig tree is Israel, what are all the other trees? The Gentile nations. And so I think that's important to also reflect upon in our time. And the final one that I want to leave with you is be always on watch and pray. Prayer is that you may be able to escape all that is about to happen, he said. And then my favorite verse, as I shared before, is his comforting the disciples in the upper room on the night in which he would be betrayed. And he shared the Passover with them and he instituted the Lord's Supper. His first words in John 14:1, trust in God, trust also in me. So whatever we're going through, can we truly fall back on that? Trust him for what he is doing and what he is yet to do. So I'm gonna stop there and just end with a quick word of prayer, and then we'll be ready to go into our time of live streaming the message this morning.